This is another beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is wonderful to have everybody here this morning. We have local visitors, visitors from Newport, from California, and as far away as Kentucky. So it's great to have everybody here this morning. We are starting our study this morning, if I can get my paper out, for September on finding your purpose. If you have not already picked up a sheet for this month, they are located on that back table. And we will see how far we can get on this study. Last month, we only did one week on the study because the scriptures didn't really apply as well as I wanted them to, and so we'll see how many I can get. I've got at least one more lesson out of this, and we'll see how far we can go. But anyway, that's what we're studying, is finding your purpose. On Wednesday night, we are looking at a video series, 12-week video series, on the Truth Project. And a couple of weeks ago, he asked the question, and they have about a dozen people that they ask a question to from all different kinds of walks of life and everything. And they ask them the question, what is the purpose of life? And nobody, and it's looking from I think it's a 13-year-old boy, people on the street, a nanny, a school, somebody's going to school, and theologians, you know, ministers or whatever. And they ask them what the purpose of life is, and nobody can answer it. The 13-year-old was the one. He's smart. He's a tack. He's good, and he answered, you know, what he thought the meaning of life was. But nobody else could give a question as to what the purpose of life was. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is finding your purpose. And I don't really feel qualified to present this lesson. I got to thinking about it, and it's like I've had, I think it was, I came up with 20 different jobs, you know, in my lifetime, different jobs for the most part, a lot of them tied together. One job, I worked for the same company, but with three different companies, subcontractors. So, you know, if you add those together, I had 21, 22 jobs. And I was doing a job interview one time, and a guy came in, looked at my resume, and said, well, you can't hold a job. You've had so many jobs. It's like, no, it's life. You know, because, you know, I was here and my parents ended up with problems. And so we moved back to North Carolina for the second time. And then we ended up with our grandkids, you know, our grandsons, and we moved back, you know, for them. And then found a job out of town and came back, you know, preaching over in Kashmir, you know. And so it's life, you know, has taken its turn, you know, in things, jobs and everything like that. So, you know, I don't feel really qualified because I don't really have a purpose in life per se. You know, and you might feel that way, that you have no guidance, you know, nothing to do. But we as Christians, every single one of us, should have one goal in mind. We should have one purpose in mind, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, and that's heaven. It doesn't matter, and we talked about this in our Sunday morning class, it doesn't really matter what our goal is here on this world, because this world is temporary. And it doesn't matter, per se. What matters is that we have a goal, we have a purpose to make it to heaven. And that's what we're going to look at. But the first thing we need to do is, what is purpose? You know, purpose is the reason for which something is done. Maybe you have a garage that you can't even get into. And so you decide that, you know, this week you're going to empty it out. And some people are smiling, you know, and you're going to go through it and you're going to weed it out and you're going to get to where you can get into your garage. And sometimes that might happen. And sometimes, you know, I just can't get rid of anything. And you know, it doesn't really change anything. But you have that purpose of cleaning your garage. Purpose is a reason for which something is created. Maybe you can't get that garage emptied out enough. And so you build a second garage. Okay, so you have a purpose of building a second garage, okay? But that was a purpose that you did. Purpose is a reason for which something exists. Maybe you had a purpose as a young couple that you wanted a family, and now you have a family. Okay, so you had that purpose of having a family. Purpose is a mental goal or aim that directs a person's actions or behavior. Again, as a Christian, we should have that purpose, that goal of reaching heaven. And everything we do on a daily basis is so we can reach and achieve that goal. Purpose can be driven by both large and small goals over a long period of time, or even within just a day. There are some people who maybe do not have a goal of heaven, but yet when you share the gospel with them, I know Alex has done it, and I have too, you know, doing Bible studies with people. When you show them the scriptures, when you show them the truth, when you show them that there is another way, when you show them God, they decide, you know, they want to be a part of that. And, you know, 2-3 hours after studying with them, you're at the baptistry baptizing them. So this wasn't a purpose that they had when they got up that morning, but it is something that they decided that they wanted. Or, you know, you could be like me and you were raised in the church. And at some point you decided that that was what you wanted, that you wanted to become a Christian, okay? And so it is purposes, whether it's a short-term purpose or a long-term purpose. It doesn't really matter. It is still a purpose. Okay, we have the wrong slideshow. This was last week's. Well, then you need to do it. Go get him. Okay, so while we get through our technical difficulty, your purpose in life is to find your purpose and give your whole heart and soul to it. If you could read it, that's what's up there. Okay. Many people seem to have a deep sense of purpose. Have you ever known somebody who was purpose-driven? I have. And that purpose drives what they do every day. And sometimes they can't see anything else but that purpose, that drive, that goal. And some people are smiling about it, okay? And they can't see anything else. They have blinders on. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I've got to do this to reach that goal. And then once they get it, then they go to something else. During the pandemic, people found a purpose. They were able to do something with the passions that they had. I don't know, I'm sure you all saw news outlets talking about it, to where people wanted to do something, wanted to help, you know, especially the hospitals. And they were taking all the spare cloth that they had and they were cutting it up and making masks, you know, to help people. That was a passion they had. I think it was the auto industry shut down their lines for making cars and turned around and started making ventilators for hospitals. You know, that was something that they wanted to do to help everybody. They had a purpose. Instead of making automobiles that people weren't buying, let's make something that they needed, okay? There were many kinds of news reports, again, dealing with these things that people were doing. I think it was great that people were willing to pitch in and help the world with this pandemic. Thursday, I was at the hospital with Kathy, and she was signing in, and there was three elderly ladies at the welcome desk. And you could tell that they were widows, and they were talking about the things that they were doing in their life. For one, you know, they were volunteering at the hospital. They were talking about going to bingo. They were talking about meals and different things like that. You know, they had a purpose in their life, even though they were alone, but they were doing things together and they were helping other people. Luckily for people with a purpose, having a purpose in life is associated with all kinds of benefits. Research suggests that purpose is tied to having better health, longevity, and even economic success. It feels good to have a sense of purpose, knowing that you are using your skills to help others in a way that matters to you. If you read up there, it says, find a purpose in life so big it will challenge every capacity to be at your best. Okay? How do we go about finding our purpose if it's not obvious to you? You know, some people, like I suggested with me, you know, it was hard to find a purpose. I knew when I, you know, I was young, my dad talked about being a volunteer fireman. When I was 16, I joined the Pleasant Grove Volunteer Fire Department, and I enjoyed doing it. And I wanted to be a fireman. I tried getting on with the Pensacola Fire Department, and I missed the entrance exam by 2 questions. And so I knew I could get it guaranteed with the Air Force. And so I went into the Air Force and joined became a fireman, crash, fire, and rescue. And after 4 years, I got bored with it because all you do is clean the station, clean the trucks, and sit around and wait for the Claxton to go off again. And so I went into computer maintenance, and I did that for 11 years. You know, but you have purpose. And it's great when you have a purpose. Otherwise, you just walk around aimlessly. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? You know, and some people like that. Some people don't want a purpose. But we as Christians need to have purpose. Sometimes it is something that you develop naturally over the course of a lifetime. Or are there steps you could take to encourage more purpose in your life? And there is. There are things you could do in your life to have purpose. But sometimes we've got to get out of that easy chair. We've got to get out of our comfort zone in order to have purpose. Likely both. People can find a sense of purpose on their own or through deliberate exercises and self-reflection. Sometimes just having someone talk to about your matters, talk to about what matters to you, makes you think more intentionally about your life and your purpose. You know, I shared with this before. Kathy and I were struggling about what to do, about moving back east or not. And I was at a men's retreat in Yamhill on the other side of Portland. And I was just at a loss, did not know what to do. And I shared it with a brother. I don't know what to do. And we were out walking, through the woods around the Yamhill River. And he says, I know what to do. I looked to him, I said, what? And he put his arms on my shoulders. He said, let's pray. Let's pray. You might not know what kind of advice to give, but you can always pray. Pray for God's help. Pray for God's guidance. You can't go wrong with that, ever. Studies show that teens find purpose after experiencing hardship. Maybe a kid who has experienced racism decides to become a civil rights advocate, or one who suffered severe illness decides to study medicine. Of course, experiences like poverty and illness are extremely hard to overcome without help from others, usually adults. Research suggests that having a supportive social network, a caring family, members, like-minded friends, or mentors, for example, helps youth to reframe hardships as a challenge that they can play a role in changing for the better. And that is true for adults as well. While hardship can lead to purpose, most people probably find purpose in a more meandering way. And I have a picture up here. It says, find your purpose, with a big arrow shooting to the sky with a bright light at the end of it, saying that we should have a purpose in going to heaven. We're on the wrong slideshow, Steve. Wrong slideshow. That's from last week. Through a combination of education, experience, and self-reflection, often helped along by encouragement from others. But finding your purpose can be jump-started, too, given the right tools. A study found that exercises aimed at uncovering your values, your interests, and your skills, as well as practicing positive emotions like gratitude, can help point you towards your purpose in life. We as Christians can have more than one purpose in our life. You could have a goal or purpose in your work for your retirement. You might have goals for your family. Those are fine and dandy. Thing is, goals or purpose can change over time. We as Christians need to have one goal that overshadows all other goals. And that is heaven. There's nothing wrong with having goals on this earth. You know, you want to work for a retirement. You want to go on a vacation. You want to have a savings so that you can go on that vacation. See, I told you. Okay. You want to save up so that you, when you go on this vacation, you know that you have the money to spend to enjoy it. Okay, those are fine to have goals today. But it's more important to have that heavenly goal as a Christian, that we live our life in such a way that we go to heaven above everything else. We must also be willing to give up the things or people in our lives that hinder us from that heavenly goal. You know, and we need to look at that as a Christian. Is this whatever activity that I'm doing God-like? Would God approve of it? If not, then maybe I need to give it up. If I'm associating with people who are not God-like, who are making me think or do things that I shouldn't be doing as a Christian, well, maybe then you need to separate yourself from that person. And it's hard. But which is more important, the things on this earth or heavenly thing that's going to last forever? Okay? And so when we're thinking about that, you know, we need to really concentrate on it. All right, let's look at some scriptures this morning. I want to start off with Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus is talking here in his Sermon on the, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Okay? Right off, enter by the narrow gate, the narrow path. We have two options, and we've been talking about this, God or the devil. God is the narrow gate, the devil is the wide gate. God is a narrow path that's hard to find and hard to go do. Hell is the wide gate, the wide path, and it's easy. And most people choose that wide gate. Verse 14, because the narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Life being heaven. And there are a lot of those who won't take that narrow path because it's too hard. They don't want to do it. They're not willing to give up friends. They're not willing, you know, to give up things that are fun to do on this earth. And I've had people tell me that they'd much rather go to hell with their friends than to go to heaven by themselves. They were not willing to take that hard path. Drop down six verses to verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. I repeat this over and over and over again because it's so important to us as Christians. Not just because you say, Lord, Lord, are you going to enter into heaven? You have to do the will of God. We talked about this morning in class. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? We have done everything. But why are they not going to heaven? 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, wait a minute. They're doing everything right. So what is it that separated them? What did verse 21 say? He who does not do the will of my Father. So we could be doing everything right, but if we're not doing the will of God, then it doesn't matter. We have to do God's will. And that's the reason we study the scriptures. That's the reason we read His word, so that we will know what that will is, what it is that God wants us to do. And we must be willing, as a Christian, if we have that purpose to make it to heaven, we must be willing to do God's will. The next scripture, in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, we've studied this in our morning class. Do not love the world, or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father, the love of God, is not in him. If you're more interested in what's going on in this world, you're more interested in what's happening, you're more interested in pleasing everybody on this world, the love of God is not in you. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, all that's in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If we're getting caught up in the lust of our flesh, in the lust of our eyes, in the pride of life, then the love of our Father is not in us. 17, for the world is passing away. There's going to be a day when this world will be no more. The world is passing away, but and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Again, here we see the will of God, that we as Christians must have that purpose of going to heaven. And with that purpose, we must be willing to do the will of God no matter what. Because we have that purpose. You want to go on that big vacation, you're willing to give up eating that hamburger joints and giving up that coffee. Yes, I said that. Okay. In order to take that vacation. Again, this world's going to pass away. If you're willing to give up coffee to go on that vacation, then you should be willing to give up other things in this world to make it to heaven for an eternity. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We talked about sacrifices this morning, okay? We should be willing to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, and it's holy and acceptable. And do not be conformed to this world. Here we go again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We must be willing to give up the things of this world, to do the will of God, to be able to achieve our goal, our purpose in heaven. Philippians 4, verses 17 and 18. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Paul is talking here. Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Okay? Our sacrifices to do what is right to do the will of God should be a sweet smelling aroma to God. And when you read in the Old Testament, the sacrifices that they made, God didn't care, you know, that they were offering the sacrifice. You know, he wasn't getting anything from it except for the sweet aroma of that they were doing the sacrifice properly. And that's what they're saying here, that our sacrifices today as Christians are a sweet smelling aroma to God. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, being Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. In other words, Jesus is coming back to claim his own. He has gone back to heaven to prepare us a place, to prepare heaven for us. And he is going to come back. In verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. He's going to go back to heaven. And we know, as Christians, after reading his word, what it takes for us to reach heaven. We looked at it this morning. We need to do his will. And if that is our purpose, to go to heaven one day, could be today, could be tomorrow, we don't know. But whenever that time comes, if our goal is to make it to heaven, then we need to be willing today to do whatever it's going to take to reach that goal. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 21. This is our last scripture this morning. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that of which Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, has also laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Don't worry about the things of yesterday, but focus on the things to come. Reach for what tomorrow brings. Make plans, make goals, have a purpose in your life to go to heaven. Don't let anyone keep you from that purpose. Continue to walk that narrow path to one day reach that small gate that leads to heaven. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God and Jesus Christ. That's our goal. That's our purpose. When Jesus comes back, that we will rise with him, that upward call of Jesus. Verse 15, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. As God's family here, brothers and sisters, we should have that same goal. We should be walking that same walk. We should be of the same mind and same purpose, that one day we will go to heaven together. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, okay? Who set their mind on earthly things. Those outside of Christ, they think of themselves. They think of what they're going to eat. They think of, you know, how they can outperform everybody else at work. They think of this worldly stuff. And it's okay to a point, but our main goal should be heaven. And then our last verse this morning is 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That's what we should be striving for. Not here, but there. We should be eagerly waiting for Jesus. One of my first sermons, anywhere I preach, I'll do that Fingertips and Noses, a song where kids are, waiting at the window pane. Every time the teacher talks about Jesus, they go to the window pane and look up, and her window is just covered with fingertips and nose prints, where the kids are waiting for Jesus to return. We as older people should have that same excitement to where we're constantly waiting for Jesus to come back. Verse 21, who will transform our lowly body? We've talked about this, that this body is earthbound. This body will be destroyed when the earth is destroyed. This body can't go to heaven. So we will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Whatever that is, whatever spiritual body, that's what we will be transformed in on that day that Jesus comes back, whether we're alive or dead. According to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. That's what we're looking for. Every single one of us should have that purpose, that goal in our life, is that when Jesus comes, that we will be called up with him to heaven. That we'll leave this dysfunctional body behind, we'll take on our spiritual body, and go to heaven. Having earthly purposes are fine, but we need to have a heavenly purpose. That we constantly, daily strive to achieve. If there's any way that we can help you this morning in having that goal, if it's not your goal already, in achieving that, let us help you. We as a family are here to help you to achieve that goal. Maybe you haven't put Christ on in baptism. That's something that you need to do so that you can start that goal. You can start that purpose of making it to heaven one day. Like I said, he could come today. He could come tomorrow. It could be in our lifetime. It might not be. We don't know. Jesus himself doesn't even know when that day is going to be. The Holy Spirit, the angels, don't know. Only God. And it's going to happen. It will happen.